If you haven't already opened your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, I'd ask you to take them out to open to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to skip over out of the gospel meeting, the first letter that we've been demanding
for a couple of days, and spend tonight, tomorrow night, now
studying from the second letter of Peter. So if you'll turn there, we're going to read a little bit.
Remember when just a moment meetings were not just 1 week, but 2 weeks long.
And
now it's hard to get folks to come when you just have a meeting for a couple of days.
You always show.
I'm not sure that that necessarily speaks to the idea that we're not spiritually minded anymore. But we are very involved people in the lives that we lead.
I would highly recommend that.
I know there are a lot of demands that you have on your time, especially those of you that are
interested in God and still
looking for
no matter what age. There's just a lot of demands.
Thank you.
For coming.
Thank you for your interest in these things.
In that regard,
I hope that it will be worth your while and that our study will be of some profit to you. It's an encouragement to me.
And if you're
visiting with us, we especially are grateful to have you. And I hope some of the things that we talk about will prompt some interest in you. I'm sure any of the folks here would be glad to talk with you about the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're interested in such. And so thank you for being here. I hope that you've had a good day.
Last night we talked about being prepared to
our study together.
You've got to drive 280 from Wilsonville.
We're going to read a fairly lengthy section of Scripture tonight. I make no apologies for that. But I want to remind us as we get to this section of Peter's letter of all the groundwork that Peter has laid for this particular area.
Bob Hutto,
he begins the letter by underscoring that God has fathered us, that we have become God's children again. And everything that we talked about yesterday really grows out of that concept, the hope that we have, that the incentive to be faithful, to offer gratitude to God, to appreciate God, the incentive to be holy, the incentive that he talks about in regards to rejoicing in the midst of grief. All of those things grow out of the fact that God is my Father. And then yesterday afternoon, we talked about the relationships that come from that. That now not only are we children of God, but we are a part of a family with other people. There's a phenomenon of God
and
the particular obligations that come out of that. And we kind of finished with, and as far as I underscore this as much, but we kind of finished yesterday with the idea that now we also have a new relationship with the world. And it's this new relationship with the world that really drives much of the rest of the first
letter
that the Apostle
big
Peter writes.
Big on-base percentage. He's driving in runs. He's
when you think about
runs.
God and God's people,
and in
the Bible, what God has always offered to his people, whether you want to look at the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and folks that lived under that dispensation, or whether you want to look at those who were in a covenant relationship with God under the old law, under the Mosaic law, or whether you want to talk about us today. God offers great blessings.
You know what?
Were it not for that,
my suspicion is
they're not an unknown entity anymore.
But that's true in sports.
That's not to say it wouldn't appeal to anyone.
To see someone
sustain,
knowing that we're going to go to heaven,
knowing that we're going to have a resurrected body, knowing that God's going to take care of us, knowing that we have forgiveness, knowing that we have intercession.
Those are important things.
There is a similar circumstance that happens
with people,
and so this offer of God's blessing.
It's not necessarily.
Romans chapter 2 says that the goodness of God
another,
is what ought to lead us to repentance. And we are very attracted to the things that God offers
they
us.
They are filled with enthusiasm
and yet,
because they
while
have,
that's appealed to every generation,
they have
and God promises
the,
these
the
blessings,
knowledge of forgiveness,
what
they,
we come to appreciate is very
that
often because we are children of God,
that
what we have
they
is
have relief from the guilt.
That's
and
where
grief
Peter goes
life,
after these
and
observations in chapter 2 about being
family,
God's chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Showing out the praises of God, strangers and sojourners in the world.
Years,
and we look at that and think,
the new wears off.
God ought to be taking care of me. In fact, this concept
has
been completely blown out of proportion by the religious world around us.
Anymore,
and many people believe, quote unquote, in Jesus because much of the big Christian world out there is preaching that if you'll serve God, God's going
to
take care of you physically. God's going to take care of you materially. God's
going to
take care of you financially.
You're
going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be wise. What God is offering to you is this wonderful life. And if you'll just throw a little extra money in the plate,
this, you know,
or send me some seed money,
put great
you're going to
just,
into
God just can't wait to bless you.
And then we don't always necessarily follow up the way that we should.
And I hear, to that message. I hear that criticism from time to time. You know,
we're not
paying attention to these folks. We're not
when you think about all that God offers,
started
and
with
then
these
people,
he starts talking
and it's
about,
a challenge.
You're going
to
suffer.
I want you to understand, it is the same challenge.
It doesn't
that
fit
every disciple
the
has.
Big picture of Christianity.
I don't
that
care
many
if you've only been
have.
A Christian for 2 years.
And yet, it is the message that
is
God offers to his people
if you've been a
regularly.
Christian for 20 years,
be faithful and I will
and
bless you. Those are the promises
went away
of the covenant.
A long time ago.
And at times when God's people were faithful,
years,
God blessed them
group,
bountifully.
Some go back 80
but,
years,
but the reality is, because we are strangers and pilgrims, and because we are not going to be like the rest of the world, and because we're trying to be
maintaining
holy, and we're trying to be righteous, and we're trying to be moral,
interest,
and we're trying to live our lives with integrity,
passion.
What's
going to
happen is we're going to come in conflict with all those people
problem.
Who aren't doing that.
It is
I'm
going to
tell
me.
You the
is
problem that we have, and this is
and
true
I
in every congregation,
I
the reason for that is we get to a point that we're not
exactly
going to have
sure
with just basic
next.
Moral issues.
If I were to ask you, what's your job?
As a follower
lasciviousness,
of Jesus. No matter
immodesty,
where you are in your level
sexual
of
activity,
or growth,
profanity,
job
all of these things
of
that have always been
how
a challenge
to
me. I'm going
to
tell you the
answer.
Reason that they are appealing
to like
us, besides the fact that they just draw
or do you have
the flesh.
To stop and think, well, you know,
they're appealing to us.
I'm not sure I've thought about it in those terms. What is it I'm supposed to do? Well, I want to propose to you that what
when
Peter
God demands
addresses
holiness
as he begins the second
and righteousness
letter is in many ways
and integrity,
the answer to all
honesty,
of those scenarios
and goodness
that we've just
and kindness
it is the
and morality.
To those
what's going to happen
is all the people in the world
who aren't those things.
For
we
the
are going to be
in
conflict with.
Or for those of us who've been Christians
and
for a
for
long
us,
time, or people
I,
in the middle,
especially
those
for those
of us
that
aren't
are
always
older.
Sure what our direction
so some
is
of you younger folks, you're growing up in a very different environment
right
than
right.
even what I grew
I'd be
up in.
One of these days
I'm bald and I look real old, but I'm just in my 50s, and I know if you're in your 20s, you think that that's like ancient. But the reality is, things have changed a lot in my lifetime.
Why
I never dreamed
right
in
now?
My wildest dreams that in my we lifetime
in
Christians would be dealing with the kind
with
of
that thought in mind. I want you to listen
of,
to the
of conflict, the kind of opposition,
and I want you
the kind of beratement that we are seeing in our culture today.
The first letter are,
and I recognize
in
we're not being persecuted. I hear people
the first
from time
letter
to time
strikes
say,
me,
being
especially as
in
a letter of encouragement to maintain.
We're really not.
The hope that comes
but we are
from
dealing with
being
more opposition
fathered by
needs
God
to deal with.
In the midst of
and we don't find ourselves necessarily in the mainstream anymore. And suddenly things
and
that are morally important to us,
some
the rest of the world freely
the
accepts,
really
and they're starting to point at us
that your faith
and say we're the bigots, and we are intolerant of others,
and
we hate other people
mind,
because we try to stand up for
read,
things that are
would,
right.
I'm going to read through about the first 11 verses.
And now we're
so
having to deal with that.
In the first chapter,
you young folks,
this
is just
going to
be, unless things change dramatically,
this is going to be your life.
Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ,
to those
those
who
have
obtained,
that Peter addresses these things.
Like precious faith with us.
The possibility
by the
of
our
suffering.
God and Savior Jesus Christ.
No matter
grace
what
the
peace
scale
be multiplied
of
to you in the knowledge
be.
Of God.
Begin
and
reading
Jesus
with me
Lord,
in chapter 3.
As his divine power has given
we're going
to
start in verse 13
and pertain to life and godliness.
We're going
to
go all the way to the end of chapter 4.
Who called
I told you it was going to be lengthy.
I want you to also appreciate
by
how
which
Peter
have been
gets
given
here.
To us exceedingly
at the end
great
of chapter
2
and verse 12, he has told us to have our conduct honorable.
Having
among the Gentiles, because we are God's people. We are God's
but
children.
But also, for this very
and beginning of verse 13, and I touched on this briefly.
Add to your faith,
beginning of verse 13 down through verse 8 in chapter 3.
Self-control.
Peter entertains three potential issues that Christians are going to have to deal with,
especially those who are under
some kind of authority. He talks
if
about civil government
and
the fact that we might find ourselves on the difficult end, having to submit ourselves to an ungodly government. And so he deals
even
with that.
To blindness.
And then he talks about the issue of masters and slaves. And then he talks about the issues of wives under the submission of husbands, especially those who are Christians.
Sure.
And so he deals with these issues where, because we are now God's people, we are having difficulty thrust upon us. It's not milk and honey yet for us. And it is the inevitable result of who we are.
I want you to notice three.
And when he gets to chapter
3
and verse 8, he makes
this
observation. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. And listen, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Do you see what he's saying
here? Tuesday night. There's a lot of things you can be
when
doing
we find
life.
Ourselves
clearly,
in conflict with the world, it's important that we circle the wagons.
So let me suggest
he's already told us
that
we're supposed to love one another. We talked about that yesterday.
In our age
and when conflict comes, and it's where that's all the more important that we lean on each
that
other.
Is that we need
and he addresses the fact
we're
that we're going to be reviled, and addresses the fact that people are going
to
do evil to us.
How important is
and as he gets to verse 13, he offers these thoughts.
And I realize preachers talk about
who is he that will harm you?
Elders talk about
if you become followers of what is good.
You
but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed.
The word of God is
do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give it to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
And
having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ might be ashamed.
Well, what he is
for it's better if it's the will of God
come
to suffer for doing
God.
Good
we,
than
we
for doing evil.
Today, and
Christ also suffered
for
once for sins, the just for the unjust.
True.
That he might bring
God
us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when
your
once the divine long suffering waited
really
in the days of
Noah,
while the ark
God
was being prepared, in which
is
a few,
in those
eight souls were saved through water.
Am
there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism.
Promises,
not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God,
or
through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the
it will test whether you
for he
really
who has suffered in the flesh has ceased
God,
from sin,
me,
that he no longer
me?
Should live the rest of his time in the flesh for
me?
The lusts of men,
I
but for the will of God.
About
we've spent enough
faith.
Of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles
comes by
when we walked in lewdness
by the word
and lust,
of God, because
drunkenness
by
and revelries, drinking parties
God.
And abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. At the end of all things is at hand.
How does he look at mercy?
Be serious.
And
the more that we get
to know God,
and above all things have fervent love for one another,
the more we
come
to trust him when he says, I'm going
to
do this.
Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of
God.
If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to
the
extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you.
There is one
the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part,
he's
glorified.
And false prophets
let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
In your name?
For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first,
what
will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good
as
to a faithful Creator.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How?
If tomorrow you were attacked, not necessarily physically, I mean, I wouldn't dismiss that possibility, but attacked intellectually, attacked emotionally, because you're a Christian. Whether you're on the job, whether you're at school, whether you're in your neighborhood, you're in the community, you're down at Walmart, somebody finds out you're a Christian, and they immediately begin to berate you and attack you.
What would you do? Grace and peace. How do I have peace in my life? I learn more.
Have you thought about
that? God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. What Peter knowledge of does God in this section. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as His divine power has given
and in
us
fact,
all
the
things
that I would make
to
from this section. We could quit having read it. The instruction
him.
Is all here.
I mean, that,
but I want to emphasize the first thing He tells us to do is to be prepared to accept the possibility of
God's
suffering because of who we are.
Divine power.
For those of us who are older, that's just almost unheard of in this country, isn't it? And yet the reality is it's happening. It's happening in our business. It's happening in our schools. It's happening just in our day-to-day lives. Ideally, doing good shouldn't expose us to any harm.
Let there be, in fact, verse 13. God says it. Who's going to harm you if you become followers
and
of
God? And I guarantee
good?
You could come
and
up
that's
here
the way
and do it.
We could all do it. We could all
wait
do it all day
minute.
For 1,000 years.
I'm not doing anything wrong
we
here.
We couldn't speak something
I'm being
into
a good person. I'm paying
but
my taxes. I'm being honest.
God
I'm being kind. I'm being caring. I'm being all the things
sees,
that God wants me to be.
And he can walk on
why
water,
should
he can
I suffer?
All these things that we know about God,
His divine power,
if it happens, has been expressed to us through the knowledge of Him. And what that divine power has done is it's revealed to us.
Don't be taken aback. Don't be
answered to every question.
So overwhelmed by what's happening to you that you don't know how to deal with it. Now, turn back to the Beatitudes. Turn to Matthew chapter 5.
Never had much success with it.
You know, we studied the Beatitudes, and we spend a lot of time trying to define these terms. Is it blessed or is it happy? And you know, what does it mean that they're going to see that they're going to inherit the kingdom of God, or they're going
to
inherit the earth? And boy, we get all technical studying through this, and sometimes we miss some things that we need to be reminded of.
It's not in the Bible.
Look at the last of the Beatitudes. In verse 10.
It's not in the Bible.
No. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
I don't have a good answer for
you. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Do you appreciate
that? They're extinct. Sermon on the Mount.
Well, why doesn't God tell us what happened to the dinosaurs?
You know, the chances are, Ed, how long have you been here? Since what? August?
Because I don't have to know
September.
That.
September. So.
Have eternal life. And
7 months, roughly.
Has he preached the same thing
and you
twice
know, he
yet?
Couldn't get beyond that.
He couldn't understand
you know,
that God's word is a revelation of God and His
you
power
know, just a matter
and
of time.
His promises for a
he'll
purpose.
Recycle a thought or he'll
so
recycle
I'll
a sermon.
So I'll know what He wants.
And
so I'll know how I was designed.
Hey, you
so
preach
I'll
the same
know what's going to happen
fact,
when life is over.
One of the old
and
men,
so I will know how to be
I
godly.
I preached
and
the
I
sermon,
can do
said,
all those things and never know what happened to the
dinosaurs. Ago, didn't you? I was amazed he could remember
and for a lot of people,
back.
That
I said, yes,
that
sir.
Simplicity
he said, was it on purpose?
Is just
I said, yes, sir. He said, okay,
not enough
you just
for
preach
them.
On, son.
Well, and yet,
I want you to understand something about preaching the same message over and over. That's what Jesus
the
did. The message of the gospel is not that difficult. It's not an academic, intellectual effort. It is a simple message about who we're supposed to be and how to become the children of God. And Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount all the time, regularly. And what He said to people on a regular basis is, you're blessed in the eyes of God when you're persecuted because you're righteous. And we read that and we understand it.
I hear people talking about,
but we don't
Jesus,
apply.
But I don't want the Bible
because we
Jesus,
live in a country where
you know
Christians
I just want what's in the red
much.
Letters. It's about time for us to start paying attention.
How do you
to
know
that?
About heaven and hell? That this is not
how
new
you know
instruction. These are things
the
that God's people through the ages have had to deal with, and in other ages they were much better prepared because
we
just haven't
so
seen
very
it
fundamental
happen.
To our faith.
And when it happens, we're
what
shocked.
What would you know about the resurrection?
We're taken aback.
We
don't know what to say.
Or statements like Philippians chapter 3.
I want you to appreciate
that
if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Our corruptible body is going to be made like unto
Peter
His
says, first of all,
glorious
in
body.
Verse 13 that, and following.
If it weren't
14,
for the Bible, folks,
even
we
if you should
know,
suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed.
Let
me suggest to you, perspective
so that you
is important because when bad things happen to us because of our faith, we begin to question ourselves. And it is a shame.
Have I done something wrong? Is God displeased with me? Is my faith not strong enough? Am I not being a good enough example? Why is this happening to me? Why is somebody attacking me? I didn't do anything to them. I just tried to do what is right. Why is God letting this happen to me? You read a lot of this kind of thinking in the Old Testament. It is the discussion of Job and his friends. Why are you suffering?
Your faith.
And what they're saying
is
you did something you're not telling us.
Like it should,
and God's punished you for it. And Job keeps saying, I didn't. I didn't do anything. I can't point to anything that I've done that is so bad that I would lose all of my family and all of my possessions and all of my health. This makes no sense to me.
If
you ever read Habakkuk, are you familiar with Habakkuk
that
to the point
through
that
these,
just
through
the reference
promises,
to it, you
know
what,
be partakers
what the thought
of
is?
The divine
check your head
nature,
yes if the answer is
having
yes.
Escaped the corruption
because most of us aren't. I mean, it's okay. There's no shame in it.
We recognize
if you don't know what Habakkuk is about.
That the ultimate end of our life as Christians is to share in the glory of God.
If you're not nodding yes, then you might as well shake your head no.
In my opinion, and it's only my opinion,
Habakkuk is a prophet who is troubled because God's people are suffering at the hands of the Babylonians.
With the resurrected body, that's
and he doesn't understand it because the Babylonians are exceptionally wicked people. God's people weren't real faithful to God right then, but they weren't nearly as violent and ungodly as the Babylonians. And Habakkuk's question is, how is it that you let a man suffer at the hands of someone who is worse than he is? It is the question
you and I have already been
God's
forgiven.
People have always asked.
We have 1 Corinthians chapter
and
6.
When
we've
we
been
suffer,
washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified.
We think of ourselves as
the spirit that lives after
confused,
the body dies is eternal.
I don't understand. We think of ourselves as somehow the other guilty
for existence with
that
God.
We deserve something bad to happen
all
because
that
somehow the other we've
God's
been faithful,
people.
Or we just flat out. Become
is the
afraid.
Resurrection and the change
when
of
Jesus
the
sends
body,
the apostles
God's
out in Matthew chapter 10 and
I
tells them,
that.
People are going to hate you,
but
fathers
meantime,
and mothers are going to turn against their
job.
children against their parents, husbands against their...
While we're alive,
the last thing
earth,
he says about that is, do not
job.
Be afraid of those
whether
folks. And I'm
going
to tell you,
sophomore slump
you and I can sit right here in the comfort of this building and say, well, somebody starts threatening me because of my faith, that's not going
to
faze me a bit.
To share in his glory, to
be
partakers of the divine nature.
About that kind of confidence.
And
in
I want to propose to you everything that Peter says
because
in the next
when people
few
threaten us,
draws
and we're not
that.
Ready for it.
Why does he tell us to
really
add all this stuff? Because
all
these qualities are the qualities of God. And your job and my job is tomorrow
but
to become
Peter
more
says,
like God. That's the task.
You need to remember the
way
God looks.
And whatever it is that you need to work on so that
he
you
says,
become more
even
like
if you
God,
should suffer for righteousness' sake,
we need to be
sake,
serious enough about
blessed.
Our service to God that we're not just showing up for church and avoiding a few sins that we think of as so heinous.
I'm a child of God.
Our job is to get up
and because I'm a child of God, I'm suffering. Tomorrow
night,
and God's looking at it going,
like God, and act more like God.
You are one blessed individual
than I did last night.
And Peter's not addressing the concept of emotional.
We get that.
That somehow or the other, we need to be happy about what's happening. Peter is addressing the concept of how we stand in the eyes of God.
Tracy sticks
we are blessed because we are children of God. It's the way that God views us. Don't think of blessed
and
as happy.
Oatmeal boils over
think of blessed as the opposite
there,
of cursed.
She's got reminders all the time. We're doing this.
Think of
we're
blessed
this.
As the opposite of,
and I appreciate
of woe
the fact
unto
that
you.
She's putting
like
it in
see
front
in
of us
Matthew
every day.
23
this is what we're working on.
When God looks at you and I, no matter what's happening to us, if I'm suffering, that may well be what my lot is. It may be because I've done good and somebody doesn't like. There may be any number of reasons. It may be part of God's will that I have to suffer. What I have to appreciate is, as we mentioned Sunday, none of the blessings of God have changed. And in God's eyes, I still am in a position where I am blessed because of who I am.
As Peter begins this section,
and we don't look at
what he begins by underscoring is, we have to be involved with God's
word.
And so
he goes on then
to say
in verse 15,
and that brings to observation number two,
sanctify the Lord God
that most people look at.
Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason of the hope that is in you.
In verse 5, Peter says,
this is
for this
very reason, what very reason?
Because
the knowledge of God and all his promises
and all the things that he has done, Because what he's telling us is when someone is opposing you, you're suffering at someone's hands for this reason.
That's the time
you have to be able to defend God.
And this is the practical
that you sanctify him. You set him apart. You make him holy. He's not subject to what goes on in this world. He is separate. And no matter what happens in my life, he's still on the throne. He's still in power. He is still God. He is still good. He is still faithful. He still fulfills his promises. It's not the time to kick him off his throne and act like he's subject to everything else in this life. He is still God. It's our job to make sure we keep him there in our heart. That's what he means by sanctify the Lord in your heart.
And then give a defense. It happens because the more time you spend with someone,
intimacy. People being persecuted in the first century? Can you imagine the apostles? In Acts chapter 5, the apostles are beaten
rubbing off on you
by the Sanhedrin because they continue to preach when they've been told not to.
A godly person.
And you're familiar. They went off rejoicing that they counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Godly.
Can you imagine
so you can rub off on them.
As Peter is leaned over
and
that post being scourged,
supposed to rub
that
off
they finally
us.
Turn him around and say, have you got anything
God's
to say for yourself?
For the same
and
reason,
Peter says, yeah, let me tell you why God's letting
this
happen.
Did you study Shakespeare in high school? You don't have a clue.
Let me tell you why I still trust him.
Yeah, you did. I can pretty much guarantee
you. Let me tell
you
why I believe he's still good. Because the Jews looked at what happens
in this life
as a reflection of God's attitude toward us. Remember John 9 and the blind man and Peter and John walking to the temple with Jesus? And they see the blind man over there and they ask Jesus a question. Who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents that he was born blind? Somebody did something wrong or this man wouldn't be suffering what he's suffering. And so the apostles are being beaten and then they have to turn around and go, let me tell you why I still stand in good favor with God
so
that
in fact
that you beat me does not mean God has forsaken me. All these things about the Word need to result in you...
Do you know what you would say?
To make sure God's influence rubs off.
Young people
this
at
is
school,
something we work toward.
You don't dress
so
like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. You don't do what everybody
else is
doing.
You get bullied for it. You get criticized for it. You get ostracized for it.
Most of them pretty easy,
don't Coach is not going to let you participate because you won't be there on a Wednesday night.
It's just hard to
Coach is not going to let you participate because you won't wear the shorts that the volleyball girls are wearing.
Only
because you try to maintain some semblance of modesty in an unmodest world. And you won't do those things. And you're kicked off the team, or you're kicked out of the club, or you're called on the carpet by the superintendent. Are you prepared to defend your God who's letting you suffer?
This idea of taking the trust that I have in God and then building upon it,
adding
to it,
folks,
is something that is mine to do, and it is ultimately an act of my will. The older I get,
sanctify the Lord. Be ready always to give a defense to anyone who asks you of what. The reason for the hope
whether or not I'm
that is in
God,
you, which is what Peter started off talking about,
with meekness,
not a condescending, not a reviling, not a rebellious attitude, and with fear. Fear of God.
To come
and look at verse 16. Having a good conscience.
And
when they defame you as evilgoers, this is
who
I revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. All they see in you is not hypocrisy. They don't see you saying one thing on Sunday and doing something else when you suffer.
I'm going to add to that faith.
They don't see you doing one thing in your teaching and then giving yourself to something else when you have to deal with peer pressure. You're not here taking the Lord's Supper and drinking a little bit of grape juice on Sunday and at the company get together on Monday night drinking alcohol.
But arete essentially addresses
they
the idea of excellence,
consistency,
as I understand the concept.
And a good conscience.
It is somewhat unfortunate and at the same time brilliant
Peter
that the word is translated virtue. Because in the Latin
it's
language,
interesting.
Virtue
I'm not going to go through and talk about
manliness.
All the verses in between. We're going to skip down to chapter 4 and verse 1.
And there is
one, but
a
I want you to notice
which
that beginning
in
verse
that
17, 18, 19, 20,
is this idea
he uses two
of
examples of people that suffered
man.
For doing good.
I think that's the
and the two examples are Jesus.
Concepts.
Some people
and
think
Noah.
That this term.
You wonder why?
How do you get baptism in there? Baptism is not really the point. Baptism is kind of a. a throw-in statement.
Dedicate ourselves. The reality is,
and then, as he says in verse 17, it's better if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. That's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to Noah.
And
then he goes to verse 1 of chapter 4, and this will be our second point.
First point was prepare yourself.
Second point is adopt the mind of Christ.
But the idea is this, very simply.
Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind.
Mail it in.
For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
God, well, we have to be
what mind do you think he's talking about here? This is another verse we take out of context.
And in our culture,
he's talking about Jesus suffering.
The way that
and the fact that it's better to suffer for doing good if it's the will of God than for doing evil.
We have to.
And then he says you need to have that mind in you.
You got that?
And I want you to appreciate he's not talking about humility here.
He's
not necessarily talking about service.
What he's talking about
that,
is doing
he says,
add to this excellence.
No matter the consequences of such.
Are you
because that's what Jesus
knowledge?
Did, and he suffered
for knowledge's sake.
And if you look back in Jesus' life, you see it.
Are you learning more about your Bible?
Peter's already mentioned it. We talked about it during the Lord's Supper yesterday.
I mean, Acts is a great
when he's talking about masters submitting or slaves submitting to masters. And verse 19 of chapter 2. This is commendable if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. What credit is it if you are beaten for your faults when you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for us. He did good. I mean, think about it. On the cross, what was it? The last thing that Jesus said before, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What was the last request he made of God
and stuck on a PowerPoint.
Forgive them.
They
so we don't
do
have to
work
know
at
what
it,
they're
we don't
doing.
Have to think about it, and we don't have to answer the question.
I mean, if somebody's putting you to death and it's painful and horrid and they're all reviling you, are you going
to
think good of him? Are you
going to
wish good upon
him?
You're going
to
pray for them?
Add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control.
I just
skip over this one. This is
you remember when Peter drew his sword, cut off the priest, the servant of the high priest's ear?
I'm impressed with
it's always interesting to me.
When you think of
self-control,
what do you think of? He
wasn't aiming for the ear, folks.
My suspicion is,
you know, he was
going to
take the guy's head off.
Have you ever thought about that?
He swings his sword.
Anger, your temper.
And a servant ducks.
And sexual desire.
All I got was the ear.
Generally, those are the ways that we tend to think.
And what did Jesus do?
Self-control.
Well, he could have said,
self-control is much broader than that.
You're not going to hear stuff for the rest of your
life
because you tried to kill the
how you've trained yourself to think.
That'd probably be my, I'd be more sarcastic.
And tune out everything else and give
yourself
to the attention.
Here's a man that's coming to kill him.
Something merits.
And he heals.
Self-control involves.
Well, what was it that Peter himself told Cornelius when he goes and he begins to tell Cornelius about Jesus? And obviously Cornelius has some understanding, but in Acts chapter 10, the way Peter describes Jesus is he went about doing good. I mean, at his trial, they brought in false witnesses for a whole night trying to find something of which to accuse him. And they couldn't.
What they finally came up with,
and I don't know that
we see it as broadly as God.
And they couldn't agree on that.
You want to talk about?
I mean, could somebody dig up some dirt on you pretty quickly?
Israel,
here is a man who whole his entire life for 33 years, what he did was good.
He would use punishment
and that's the mindset.
He would use captivity
that Peter says you are to arm yourself
and returning.
I'm suffering
from exile,
and he would use those things to try to train them, to try to teach them. You know, maybe if I don't do anything, I'm not going to draw any attention to myself.
He knows what he's going to do.
Because doing good brought me nothing but heartache.
Because he
ultimately reasoned about things.
Himself like no other being.
And yet Jesus,
and that's our job,
suffered for us.
Add to your faith.
Because he was, even though while he was doing good, and he did so willingly.
And perseverance.
That's
perseverance. This is translated variously in
are you willing to do
some,
good?
Some
even
translations
if it means bad
patience.
Things happen to you.
In my mind, those two things aren't exactly
again. You sit
the
here
same.
Tonight,
I think of
and I guarantee you, thought went through everybody's mind.
Oh yeah,
buddy,
and I always think of patience as just being
I'll
able
stand
to
up.
Wait.
I'm not going to deny you.
And if you,
you
go
Lord,
back and
all
you
these
look at what God
you,
asks of his people,
you, Lord,
especially in David's Psalms, and
until you look
I'm
around
very
the campfire at all the eyes going, weren't
you
with Jesus
having this wonderful life?
David went through some real difficulties.
And they're building the crosses down the road.
He never lost his trust in God. And he extols the idea of waiting on the Lord, the end of the 27th Psalm.
You think Peter
wait on the Lord, be of good courage,
of
and equal strength in your heart.
Wait,
thinking about on the Lord.
And writing these things to us.
You have a problem?
He's been there in
he knows
life,
what that pressure is
like.
He understands the potential
sometimes
of suffering for doing good and being identified with Jesus Christ.
Patient.
And at this point in his life, he's more than ready.
I'm going to tell you
and
what,
willing
there have been times I love my
to
children
suffer
like I've never loved
because of who Jesus is
world.
And his relationship with him.
But
and
I
that's the mindset we have to accept. And I tell you, it helps if we understand why it's happening. You know, I do think from time to time, and I've tried to prepare my kids for this.
And as
you know,
parents, sometimes what you do is you instill the lessons.
People aren't always
going
to like you because you're trying to do good. My youngest, when she was in high school, she came home one day. Actually, my two youngest are a year apart.
Actually finally figure it out. And
they
sometimes
came home
the
one
best
day
thing
and,
we can
and
do
they were a little upset.
Be
I said, what's wrong?
Patient.
I said, well, some of the kids in the band, they were both in the band.
Study with someone.
Some of the kids in the band
don't
been making
up.
Fun of us.
Just because they don't know
well,
why they've
been making fun of
us. By the
well,
time
they said
you've
the Bowman girls
are
the most sheltered people in Lumberton High School.
Sometimes you got to study with some folks for a long time.
You know, you tell a kid that's
they're working. The seed is working. We have to be patient. Sometimes we have to
be
patient with the Lord in regards to what's happening in our society.
You know, that's kind of
I don't know where this country's going.
It
scares me to death.
By the way,
but I can tell you this much. I'm not going to change it all by myself. I'm going to have to trust in God.
Go figure that one out.
The strength to endure the difficulty.
You're the most sheltered kids in school. You've never been to Buffalo Wild.
God in some way is going to
but I remember
providentially that changes.
I remember their,
in the
you know,
meantime,
the look on their faces.
Is to
Dad,
get up every
you
day
know,
and go be patient. And it's that way with everything in life.
And what we tried problems, to underscore at that point was,
we're only here a short time.
When you try to do right,
be patient.
And people around you aren't doing right.
It is a
you
wonderful
their
quality
conscience.
Of godliness that we count on. I mean, are
you
glad that God's
them
patient
of what
with
they're
you?
Supposed to be doing.
Tomorrow night we're going to talk about 2 Peter 3.
And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 4,
the judgment
beginning
of
in
God,
verse 1 at the
know
end,
God
that's the argument
yet.
Peter makes.
One reason.
Arm yourselves with the same mind.
He
who has suffered in the flesh
the only
has
reason
ceased
he
from
has
sin.
Not brought the
if you're
world
still
to
doing what everybody else is doing, you're not going
to
suffer for it.
As will to come
but
to
you're
him.
Suffering because you have ceased from sin that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries.
And Peter
some
puts
you,
great emphasis upon that.
Have any of you
every
lived
aspect,
a really
whether we're,
ungodly
whether
life
our faith is being tested by false teaching, whether we're being whether we're suffering
when you look
for the
back
cause,
on it,
we need each other. We need to be kind to each other. We need to have this family relationship
awesome
where we
times.
Can lean on each other in times of difficulty,
or
where we can correct each other without
wiser,
getting mad, where we can
go,
help each other to be godly. Those qualities are not
how much time I wasted.
Subject to debate.
How many opportunities? How many good people?
They're not optional.
I was so stupid.
One of my closest friends
of God was raised in a very ungodly home.
And to brotherly kindness, love.
And he's told me many times, my
which
dad
talked about over and over.
Pulled my brother and I together.
You and I
wanted us
to
have
a
beer.
I have a lot
we
of
told
to
him
do.
No, and he said, your
which
whole
of these
adult
you
lives, you
on?
Have disappointed me.
And that brings
I
the last
raised
observation.
You in one
here's
way,
the points we made.
Both
number
became
one,
Christians. If we want to know what we're supposed to be doing,
because they didn't continue to
we
lead
got
the life
to stay in
that
touch
he
with
raised
God's
word. And then we have to understand these qualities of God, and we have to let them
I
become
a
part
lot
of us.
Exceptionally
and then
ungodly
the third point
things,
is,
and none of it profited me.
We've got to work at it.
And
you know, it'd be real nice
you know,
to take your
we,
Bible, stick it under your
we
pillow.
We spend
like
enough
you
time
do,
doing what the
you know,
rest of the world
test and hope that osmosis through the night.
We're holy
it
people
all kind of
now.
Soaks in. I actually
we're
done
not
that
dressing
before.
Like them. We're not
then.
Talking like
it's
them.
Certainly
we're
not going
to
work
like
with
them.
Regards to the gospel.
We
and Peter makes this point. In fact,
godliness.
He makes it twice, and he underscores.
And we're not
going to
go back there because we wasted enough time in all these
giving all diligence. And then he says it again,
and he says in regards to those things,
beginning
in
verse 8, if these things are yours
and
abound, he who lacks these things is
and
short-sighted.
If you've been down that path,
verse 10,
you've got
be even more diligent
past that, That's
an interesting word.
I don't understand why you quit drinking.
The Greek word means speed.
I don't understand why you quit partying.
That's
I don't understand why you quit sleeping
of the
around.
Word for diligent.
Why you're leading the life that you're leading
right
now.
And it carries with it the idea of eagerness or earnestness.
And very
haste.
Often Peter's point is the reason that we suffer is because we're not doing what the rest of the world is doing.
And by the way, you don't lollygag around it, you get after it.
If we don't ever have any conflict with anybody.
And the application I would make to us is that we can't just be spectators.
Maybe we
here,
need
folks.
To stop
discipleship
and look at the way
for Christians
lives.
Has to be more than playing church. We
You've
can't be peddling
to
at Christianity.
We've
got
to
decide if we're going to take
why
it
your
seriously,
kids aren't going
to
be there
and
on
if we're going to try to be godly, or if we're just going
to
show
never
up.
Never had
and
to
see
have a discussion
happens.
With your boss about why you're not going to buy alcohol for the people you're
you
entertaining.
You know, I don't know, but
business.
We always tell people this.
Never had a discussion with your friends about why you don't dress the way that they dress.
And you may be observation.
Maybe we need to give some thought to our holiness.
For those who have preached,
Peter says, in regards to these things,
that the greatest
challenge. Strange.
And
he goes on to say in verse 10, they're going to give an account. God's going to judge. And that's why the gospel is being preached to them.
It's not terribly
but for us, we need to remember verse 7. The end is at hand. It's time to be serious and watchful and help each other and love each other and be hospitable and use our gifts to help one another because the rest of the world is not going to be on our side. And we have to arm ourselves. With the mind
far
of Christ.
Exceeds what I think most
and then
Christians
finally,
are doing and what most local
in verse 12,
and
the last point is
doing,
really
most
the first
doing.
Two points.
I just think
he
too
says,
service to God.
And beloved, do not think it's strange
to hear that
concerning
any more
the fiery
like
trial
to
that's to try you as though some strange
well.
Thing happened
and yet, that's
to you. Rejoice
exactly what Peter says.
To the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering.
There is discipline
he repeats
to
himself.
There is work to be done
and he repeats himself for emphasis.
And that's why some people...
Don't be surprised. I do want you to notice that the repetition of warning is enhanced.
Fruit?
The fiery trial
well,
that's
we say,
try
well, because
you. Things
can
get really harmful. Things can get really hurtful.
What are those
this is not just some ostracization. And it may be such in our life, folks, that at some point, if things continue the way they are,
you still have to be focused.
Try to stop us from
what are we doing?
Do you know that the church where I preach has a
diligent.
Liability policy upon me.
But I want you to understand
somebody
the value
might sue
of
us for something
look
I say.
Here's the value of diligence. Verse 8.
Just
if these things are yours and abound.
I'm
yours
not getting up and berating people
personal.
At home.
Don't misunderstand.
This is not something that
we're
the
already
Hebrew
there.
Church collectively
to speak out against certain sins,
develop.
Homosexuality, adultery,
develop. If
promiscuity.
Qualities
in our culture, those things are already
common,
considered hate speech by some folks.
If I own them.
We need to understand that things
and
could get worse
abound.
And the trial could become fiery.
A little bit
and
of
what he says is,
I'm just frustrated.
This is too distracting.
So a little bit of
it's
self-control
all right, I'm gonna stand.
Doesn't get you very far. A little bit of brotherly kindness doesn't last. A little
come.
Bit of love is not going to help a whole lot of folks.
And don't think that some weird thing has happened to you. It's been happening to Christians forever.
You'll need to be buried.
Rejoice because the same thing has happened to you.
The idea of useless
happened to Abraham.
You'll need to be barren or unfruitful.
Happened to David.
In the knowledge of our Lord. That's interesting
to
me. Have
Elijah,
you ever thought
Elijah,
about,
Jeremiah,
these are qualities.
Ezekiel.
He says you add these qualities that make them yours. You make them
happen
to where
Peter,
you abound in them, and your knowledge of Jesus will grow. Is that an interesting thought to you? It's interesting to me.
If you reproach
first time I noticed
Christ,
that, I thought, how again, is my knowledge grows?
You're blessed.
Because I become more patient.
You are strangers and sojourners who are showing
the
world
more patient I become, the more I start to see how God looks at things.
But God,
the
does.
More self-controlled I become, the more I understand how God looks
you
at things.
Valuable.
The more loving I
and
become,
we need to take
the more I understand how God looks at things.
Degree of satisfaction because
and the more I understand
God
how
counts
God looks
us
at
worthy
things,
as
the more
he did
I understand
the
Jesus,
to
the more I know the Lord
because of the cause. And I'm
you know, this
you
is a practical application.
We talk about evangelism from time to time, and we
and it's interesting. The word very often in the scriptures, you see it in the epistles of John very often, and it goes back to some extent to the very initial statements of. About man and woman, Adam knew Eve, his wife. We think, well, he's talking about sexual contact. Yeah, he is, but
right,
he's talking about intimacy that goes far beyond sexual
rational,
contact. And that intimate word is used,
are,
John uses it over and over about
and
knowing God.
Tired of the ungodliness around us.
You understand
come
that?
To the Lord.
Knowing God is not just an intellectual appreciation. It is the experience of being like Him, which helps me understand Him. And that is just brilliant to me.
It's going to be okay.
Don't say, I know God. If you don't know
God. There was a time when I started preaching 30, whatever.
If I'm diligent and these things are mine and abound.
Preaching from 1 Timothy 3.
I'm never going to be barren. I'm never going to be unfruitful. I'm always going to understand. As he says in verse 10, I'm not going to stumble.
I didn't see coming.
So, well, but I have trouble with sin. The more you grow in these things, the less trouble you'll have with your sins, with your temptations. And an abundance is going to be supplied to me. An entrance is going to be supplied to me abundantly into the everlasting kingdom.
You better be ready.
It's like God saying, I want you to understand heaven is so certain to you. I'm not just going to put you in. You're not going to just go in. You're going to go in abundantly. I don't even understand what that means, but I get it. But on the other hand, if we don't work hard at it, verse 9, you lack these things, you're myopic, short-sighted, nearsighted. You can only see what's right in front of you, even to the point that you are blind and you've forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sins. In other words, you don't remember who you belong to. And that's what this whole series of lessons has been about. God has fathered me. But if I don't work the way Peter tells me to work and I don't put on these qualities, I will forget who I am. So what do I do when the new wears off? What do I do when I've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years and I'm just not enthusiastic about it anymore. You know, our solutions are, well, we need a new preacher. It's always the preacher. We need a new preacher. Sometimes it is the preacher, but not most of the time. Well, we need our elders. They're just not. Well, sometimes the elders don't do their work well. But I'm going to tell you what it boils down to if you're stagnant. If you don't have the same enthusiasm anymore, if you just feel like you're going through the motions and playing church, you need to roll up your sleeves and you need to get back to work. And you need to remember who you are. And you need to remember who your father is. And you need to remember what my job is to be like him. And it'll take a lifetime to get there. And then it's going to take His judgment and mercy on the day of judgment to make that really happen. But we won't enter into the kingdom if we don't do these things, not the eternal kingdom. And we need to recognize that. So, if you didn't have something to work on when you got here, you do now. But aren't we blessed that God's told us all this stuff? So that we're not left just wandering aimlessly in our lives. And that we can look forward to His mercy. Add to your faith, folks. I hope those things will help you. If you need to obey the gospel, you need to make your life right, need to make some changes, any way we can help you in those regards, we invite you to come tonight while we stand and while we sing.